Hi, and welcome to the Page One Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Zwelling from Howard Hanna Real Estate Services. And we are in the back half of the year, late October. And what does that mean for real estate? I think when you look at the optics right now and listen to the national media, there's a lot of concern of an impending housing crash or a major recession and how that's going to affect the real estate market. For me, a lot of people are constantly asking me, how's the market? Now, there's a lot of ways you can answer that question. You could say good, horrible, bad, terrible. And you could also say that depends, because it really does depend on your circumstance. Now, for some first-time home buyers, obviously 3% of an interest rate was far more advantageous than what it is at right now, in the 7% range. But again, if you look at the rolling average, it's still a good percentage rate. I think right now, as we look at the housing market, it's still a seller's market. What does a seller's market mean? Well, it means that there are more buyers than there are homes or inventory is creating that seller's market. So we are seeing still multiple offers going above asking price. And it is still very healthy to sell your home. Now for buying, people say, well, you know, at 3%, it was great. And at 7%, you know, wow, look how much more money I'm going to spend. My question to you is, what about next year? What money are you leaving on the table by not acting now? If you need to buy or sell a home, now is the time to do it. The Federal Reserve is talking about raising rates again. And with inflation being with what it is right now, the Federal Reserve is talking about continuing to make that move until they can get inflation under control. So what you can do today will save you money in the long run versus next year. So that's a different way of looking at it, at least in my opinion. I think that you have to be in the moment and act now. Now, in October, people ask me, Jason, you know, is it really a good time to be doing this? And I think it is, because you look at less buyers out there. So from a buyer standpoint, you have less competition. Certain people have started the school year and they don't want to move their kids during the school year. So they said they're going to wait for the spring market, or they're going to wait until their kids are out of school to make that move. And again, that makes sense. But there's things that can be done while kids are in school to minimize that risk. But again, those buyers are now off the grid. So what we tend to see right now is situational buyers and situational sellers more often than just the looky-loo buyer or seller. Because a lot of people say, hey, I'll put the home on the market in the spring market and I'll test it out and see what kind of action I get. If I don't get the number that I want, I'll take the home back off the market. But my chances are better. Now, sure, there's more eyes probably looking in the spring market, but how many of those buyers are true buyers? We see a lot of window shoppers out in the marketplace. A lot of people that go to Tim Hortons or Starbucks and get a cup of coffee, get in the car and say, hey, you know, this weekend we're going to do some garage sailing and we're going to hit some open houses and we're going to move around and, you know, just see what's out there. Maybe I'll catch a decorating tip or just see because I'm nosy. And the off chance that people are going to say, hey, wow, this house is beautiful. This is the house for me. I need to make a move. But in October, November, December, people know the weather is going to be less than favorable. They know that when their home closes, the chances of snow in Western New York is strong, or at least very cold weather. So they know they're going to have to make a move in a weather-related area that may have a little bit more work to do. But again, some people have to buy and sell right now. Their job has taken them in another direction, or they can't afford the home that they're in, so they need to sell and they need to recoup their losses as best as they can. So again, sometimes those situational buyers and sellers create an opportunity. So if you're selling a home right now, don't be afraid of the colder winter months, because again, somebody may be moving into the area and they have to find a home. We're still seeing homes that are selling well above asking price. We're still seeing multiple offer situations. So don't be concerned. The interest rates, think of it this way. Next year, we could be up another 2-3%. I'm not saying that it'll happen, but there's a good chance that it will go up. So don't look about 3%. Look what it is right now and say, hey, if I don't act right now, I'm leaving money, you know, on the table to be lost. So that's a good point of it. The other part of it too is, I think at 3%, we talk about noise. We talk about that listing agent that puts that home on the market well below what it's really worth, because they don't want to do the work, or they want to look like a hero in front of the sellers. Take, for instance, a home that's a $250,000 home, and the listing agent really doesn't want to do the comparative market analysis, doesn't really want to see what the market is, and wants to look like a hero in front of the sellers. So he's like, hey, I'm going to put this home on the market for $189,900. Set a time to put the home to review offers and hope that there's 20, 30 offers. And I can turn around to my seller and say, see, look at the action you have on this property. Now, there's a lot of problems with that, in my opinion. And one of the biggest problems with that is the seller incurs a lot of decision making, and a lot of it is unnecessary. And what I mean by that is, when you see 10, 15, 20 offers, a lot of those offers are nowhere near what the seller will accept. So I call that noise. And noise is that home's out of the market for $189,900. But it's really a $250,000 home within the, you know, range of 230 to 260, in that range. Seller's not going to take $189,900. It's not going to even take $200,000. So when we see people get pre-approved, they get pre-approved for $150,000, $175,000, $200,000, usually one of those kind of numbers. So at $189,900, that $200,000 pre-approved buyer thinks, wow, I'm going to go full $200,000 above asking price, and I'm going to take a really good chance at this. And they feel good about that. They feel very good. And they say to their realtor, you know, we really love this house. We love everything about it, and we're going to go forward. Now, if the agent is worth their weight in salt, they're going to be able to do the due diligence. They're going to be able to do the research and say, Mr. and Mrs. Buyer, this home really should be priced 230 to 260 in that range. The fact that it's at 189.9, it's fictitious. It's a way for the seller to see a lot of offers, for the listing agent to look like a hero. But in actuality, there's going to be a lot of offers that are not even going to get close to hitting the mark. And unfortunately, your offer at 200,000 is going to be disregarded very quickly, for the simple fact that it's nowhere near the price. So that agent will do some research. That agent will be able to kind of peel back the onion and kind of take a look and see what's available and say, in order to be considered, you need to be in this range. And I think that if you can have an agent that can do that, you're going to be better off. Because again, the seller is going to sit there, and the listing agent may go back to these sellers and say, oh, we have 22 offers. Now the sellers are like elated. They're like, wow, 22 offers. I can't imagine what the price is going to be. The agent says, I'm going to compile the data. I'm going to get all the, you know, offers together. We're going to sit down either at your house or at my office, and we're going to go over those offers. So compiles all the data. And as the agent is getting these deals, the agent's like, okay, well, this one's at full list price. Put this in the probably not category. And goes through and starts to rate them. based on their price and their financing, if they're getting a home inspection, if they're not getting a home inspection, you know, who their attorneys are, if they have an attorney, what their closing date is, what their commitment date is, are they doing cash? A lot of different factors in a contract. If it's filled out correctly, if all the supporting paperwork is there, compiles the data, and off those 15 to 20 offers, four of them are in the ballpark. Four of them are close to really what the seller is going to accept. But there was 15 offers. And people are like, wow, you know, so sellers sit down and the listing agent says, hey, of those 15 offers, let me give you the highlights. This is the highest offer, this is the lowest offer. And the sellers start to realize, wow, you know, people are really being cheap. They're trying to get this home on a deal. When in fact, the agent that listed the home who didn't do his due diligence, who listed the home well below the list price, what it should have actually been, created this. Now, on the flip side, besides the fact that the sellers are disappointed because there's so many bad offers, which is of no fault to the buyers, it's really to the listing agent. Now has to make that decision based on, you know, four offers. And now these sellers want to say, wow, maybe we should wait more longer. Now, on the flip side, the buyers get mentally scarred by this ordeal as well. Because how many times has a buyer gone through a home, put an offer in above asking price, and lost out? Their frustration factor gets so high, so elevated, so quickly, they bow out of the game. They say, I'm going in a different direction. I am not staying here. I gotta go. Now, the reason why that's happening is because, number one, the buyer's agent and the listing agent are not doing their due diligence. And I'm not trying to throw agents under the bus. There's a lot of phenomenal agents out there that do really, really good work. But from the buyer and seller standpoint, they have to realize of what the actual price of the home is going to be. So when a buyer's agent rolls up to a home, and I'll use myself for an example. I have a client that I was working with. We went to a home. The home was on the market, well below asking price. But this buyer was very excited for this home. It was in the location, the area that they wanted, and they were ready to go. So I explained to the buyer, before we go any further, I want to explain to you that the price of this home is grossly underpriced. The home should be listed around this number. And it was like $50,000 more than what it was actually listed at. And the buyer was like, wow, so disappointed. Why would they do that? So I explained there's a lot of reasons why that could be. Or there could be something, you know, behind the curtain that we don't know about that's causing them to put a lower price. So on top of the fact that the home is underpriced and how it's listed, makes me go to a lot of different directions. Number one, I'm looking at the pictures. I'm looking at the supporting documentation. I'm looking at the comparatives. The comparatives are saying, wow, this home is way underpriced. But is there something wrong with the home? But I don't see anything in disclosures. I don't see anything. But it definitely gives me that factor. So again, I want to make sure that my buyer is taken care of. So we make an appointment, we go through the home, and you know, we start to see some things in the home that is like, wow, this home's going to need this, it's going to need that. And you know, again, I still think the home is grossly underpriced, but there is some things behind the curtain that need to be taken care of. The buyer has to come up with a decision that they want to be involved in this. And I know I've had buyers that have walked away and say, hey, look, this is just way, way too frustrating. It's too emotional. You know, I feel like I'm doing a good thing. I'm putting this offer in. and I'm not, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. You have to put yourself at the forefront of the conversation. You have to realize what the market is like, and you have to have an agent that's willing to do the research. When we set up a search for a client, not every home in that search is going to check off all the boxes. So when an agent sets up an auto search and sends it out to the client, I think they're doing a disservice to the client as well. Why do I think that? Well, number one, if you listened to the buyer when they sat down and we did a needs assessment, if you did a needs assessment, you would realize that they wanted X, Y, and Z, and you sent them a search that was very basic, very bland, and it kind of covered so many homes. And when the buyer started to peruse through these online, said, this doesn't match, this isn't good, this isn't, you know, and just got so frustrated because, again, it's all these homes. Now, I'll send some stuff to clients that may not be perfect for them, but I'm saying the reason why I'm sending you this is because I want you to take a look at this, that, or the other. Like, there's certain things in the home that I think, you know, when a client says to me, oh, I want four bedrooms. Well, it's just you. Why do you want four bedrooms? Well, I want storage. Okay. Well, I'm sending you this home that has copious amounts of storage, but it doesn't have the bedrooms. Does this work? Oh, yeah, I never thought of it that way. But again, drilling down to these homes and looking at it, it's like every home, every listing that you see is kind of like a P&L sheet. And you're looking at it, you're looking at the numbers, you're looking at the list price, the days on market, the supporting documentation, the pictures, what's selling in the area, the taxes. There's so many things to look at from a realtor standpoint that you have to convey to the buyer to get out there. And the buyer is looking from an emotional standpoint. They're looking at a point where they, oh, I love it. I can see my dining room table in that dining room. Man, I can see myself making chili on a Sunday in that kitchen. But a realtor is looking at so many more factors based on what the buyer has told them, if they took the time to sit down with the buyer. You have to put yourself at the forefront of the conversation. You have to educate your buyer to make an informed decision. We often hear in the real estate industry, buyers are liars. And I don't think that's the case. I think we're just not asking the right questions. I really think that we need to ask better questions, not to respond, but to understand. When we do that and take our ego out of the equation and put ourselves, you know, with what the buyer wants. Because again, I always fall on the sword as a real estate agent and say to, you know, my buyer or seller, apparently I haven't listened to you correctly. You know, we are on a different wavelength. We need to kind of get back to an understanding. And I would sit down with clients all the time and say, hey, let's get back to the office. Let's redo our buyer assessment. Let's go back. We've been doing this for a bit. We've missed on some marks. And I just think that I need to do a better job of finding you something, but I think I need to better understand what your wants and needs are. Apparently, I didn't do it the first time. And that's removing the ego. That's acting like a professional and a business person that wants to have resolution. So buyers need to do their due diligence. Real estate agents need to do their due diligence as well. And there has to be an understanding. I can never meet a client's expectations if they don't tell me their expectations. If they leave those as, you know, like, what are you looking for? I'm pretty easy going. That's danger. Danger, danger, force, ranger. You do not want a buyer to tell you that. And I had that when I first started out in real estate. I had someone tell me they were very easygoing. They didn't have many wants and needs. When in fact, that was untrue. They knew what they wanted. They just didn't convey it to me. I didn't ask the right questions. And we were at a situation where we looked at a lot of homes. And it's because I didn't ask the right questions. And that buyer did not convey to me what they wanted. Now, there is a point that a buyer doesn't know what they don't know. They don't see what they don't see. So they have to get out there. They have to experience it. They have to feel it. They have to understand it. But they have to also put themselves in a state where they have to convey the understanding to the realtor. The realtor's got to ask good questions, but the buyer has to really tell them. When a buyer doesn't tell me, or if a buyer has unrealistic expectations, you know, I really want to live in, you know, Orchard Park, and I want a, you know, 2,000 square foot home and 4 bedrooms, 2 baths, granite square countertop, you know, big pool in the backyard, acre of land. Now they might be out there, but not at the price that you're looking. I call those unicorns. When people set their expectations based on what they want versus what they can afford, that's not a good thing. And a good realtor has to peel it back and say, whoa. If I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying you want X, Y, and Z at this price and based on an Orchard Park for these kind of wants and needs, it's not available. But there's many realtors that go out there and say, oh, sure, we're going to find you that. We're going to definitely find you that home. And you look and you look and you look and you look and you don't find it. The reason why you don't find it is because it's not there. It's a unicorn. It's just not there. So put yourself in the driver's seat of asking better questions as a realtor. But as a buyer, you need to make sure that you guys are on the same page. Because again, that's going to help you in this market. In a seller's market, there is no time to possibly like, well, I thought that's what they meant. No, you have to know what they mean. You have to understand. And you have to explain to someone, hey, this home is underpriced, overpriced. This home has problems. These are what you're going to incur. You have to have those conversations. You have to put the buyer in position to make informed decisions. And you have to put the buyer in a situation where they can walk away because they have all the facts. And if they want to go forward, this is what we're going to incur. I explain to clients in buyer consultations all the time, and I sit down with them. Usually the consultation's 2 hours, and I have agents that are in my office in the industry like, Jason, 2 hours? Who's got time for that? My question to you is, who has the time not to? Because you're going to spend a lot more time working with a buyer when you don't understand the process. Because again, those questions are going to come up throughout the process. And again, I still answer questions throughout the process, but I say, and I refer back and I pull back and say, hey, do you remember when we talked about this? It's important to have a ground zero per se. Because again, the real estate process is an emotional one. It's a long one. And there's a lot of moving parts. And you're not the only one in this process. There's a buyer. There's a seller. There's a buyer's agent. There's a seller's agent most of the time, unless it's a for sale by owner. There's an attorney. There's an inspector. There's an appraiser. There's an underwriter. There's a lot of different things that come into play. Does your buyer know that? Education is key. I work with clients a lot of times, and buyers, we don't find something. But I feel when we walk away from our relation, working together, they're better informed to handle something next time around. And if they come back to me, great. If they go to another real estate agent, they are in better position to succeed. And who knows, I may have a listing that this buyer may come in and now they're more informed to make a better decision. And that's good for everybody. So hopefully this helped you a little bit to just give you the mindset of in what happens in this marketplace. It's still a great time to buy, but do your research, have a realtor that does their research and make informed decisions. That's all the time I have for now. Hopefully you like what you heard. If you do, please hit that subscribe button. Talk to you soon.